Our scripture reading will be taken from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We said that the last three chapters of the letter to the Ephesians would be very practical in the aspects that the Holy Spirit would call for the Apostle Paul to write about daily living. And certainly in these last three lessons, and then I believe also in next week's lesson when we talk about slaves and masters, in these last three we've talked about the family unit, concluding in chapter 5, the husband as the head of the household, the wife being in subjection to the husband, and now the parents over their children and the admonitions that God would give. One thing we've noticed is that God doesn't change. He instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden, saying that a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Our society has proven just how golden those instructions are. Sadly, not by example, but too often because we challenge what God says. And I don't think this passage that we're studying this morning, these first four verses, are without challenge in today's society either. I have a little saying on my wall in the office, and it followed me from where I was in Kansas, because that's where I came across it. I'm not sure just where, but you may or may not like its sentiments, but it goes like this. Children who know no form of chastening are either mythical or gangsters. Do I need to read it again? Children who know no form of chastening are either mythical or gangsters. The Bible says simply in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How long does it take to wean a baby calf? Oh, I've seen them still on their mom, even when they shouldn't be. But generally, it's about a year, maybe a little bit less. You think of other animals, and how quickly is the chick out from underneath the hen's wings? In the animal kingdom, it happens rather quickly, doesn't it? How long does it take a human to release their young for flight? We might say 18 years. Others say that in itself is too soon. Now, children will say that's way too long anyway. Turn me loose. What would a child say is the ideal age to be released from any kind of parental guidance or discipline? Well, I'd hate to ask them. Children, God knew that it would take a while for a baby to grow to knowledge, instruction, to be nurtured, to be trained. And in God's mind, He created us in such a way that we're not ready to even hardly walk, some of us, by the time 1 year comes around. My mother says I started walking at 18 months because everybody would carry me everywhere I wanted to go, and I didn't have to learn to walk. And so I didn't start walking till I was 18. How old were you when you started to walk? I'm sure you remember. Sometimes about a year, but there are those who learned how to walk even sooner than that. But we would never even imagine that that's the time that a child is to be released to the world and to fend for themselves, would we? We still agree as a society that pretty much a child stays at home until they graduate from high school. That wasn't always the case, even in our society. Children were put to work, dropped out of school probably by age 12 or so, And sometimes we're even on their own. Some in this very audience have experienced that in growing up. But probably not the most of us. In fact, even at 18, our parents were probably still a little hesitant to release the reins. I can remember my older brother. I have a sister between Steve and I, Charlotte. But Steve was never very good at goodbyes. And so when he got ready to travel off to college in his car, he had packed his car the night before, and we all expected to get up in the morning to give him a hug and to say goodbye. He was 18, and he was headed for his first year of college. We lived in Oklahoma, southwest Oklahoma, and the college that all of us Sykeses went to was in Nebraska, a 12-hour drive. You didn't just come home on the weekends. In fact, you were fortunate if you came home at Thanksgiving for your first year. But we all got up the next morning to see Steve off, and his car was gone. Like I said, Steve didn't like goodbyes. Broke my mama's heart. Can you feel that, moms? Your 18-year-old just disappears. And I'm sure he waited till in the morning, I think. Maybe he took off the night before, but I think he waited till in the morning. And that at least is the way I remember it. Now, if I'm wrong, my mother will correct me. I guarantee you of that. But what I remember is my older brother, Steve, just, he took flight. Almost like those little barn swallows that I remember in the house in Mississippi. And the house had these columns out for the front porch. And the barn swallows had decided to build a nest right in the corner. And it was a nice porch, well covered. But that little nest set up there with those barn swallows in, and we watched them. They'd bring their little heads above the mud nest, and they'd be crying for things from their mama, and she would fly in and land and feed them. But she got tired of doing that. And I remember the day she started kicking them out of the nest. Literally, she was pushing those babies out. Some of them were able to fly. Others of them went. She still took care of them. She still watched after them. But it was time for them. And maybe that was your view more so than what my mom's view. Maybe she rejoiced when I left. I don't know. But 18 seems to be a pretty good time. 18 years. Can you imagine anything in the animal kingdom that would take 18 years to release its young? Can you imagine a cow herd that it took 18 years before you were ready for the next generation? You'd go broke, wouldn't you? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God has created us as humans different from the animal kingdom, that it takes a long time, relatively speaking, to prepare us to be ready for our journey. And this verse ties so many Old Testament concepts into it, but this verse in and of itself says volumes. It really does. About child rearing. Children who know no form of chastening are either mythical or gangsters. God intended for parents to lead. And it is parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that word for obedience is a stark one. It means literally what it says. Children are to do what their parents tell them to do. I want you to imagine for a minute that there is no chain of authority in society. We don't have a government. There's no president. There's no Congress. No, don't start clapping yet. There's no state officials. There's no military. There's no police. What if we did not have authority in a nation? What would happen to that nation? We know what happens to a nation that has no form of authority, no laws that are enforced, no court system. It's total chaos, isn't it? In fact, it has taken thousands, millennia of time, thousands of years for us to develop to be the country that we are today. But it is because we respect authority. You have chaos without someone being in charge. And individuals left without instruction to go out and learn on their own without building on the knowledge of the prior generation, we digress quickly. And I'm afraid our society is headed that direction. We're undermining the foundations of what we're built upon, in favor of letting people do what they want to do. Now, I'm not advocating for more government. What I'm advocating for is the authority, which is God. God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Well, first off, God said it. That's a commandment. And he didn't say it just to us or to the Christians. He had said that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, the fifth commandment, which is quoted here. Honor your father and your mother, that you may live long on the earth. Here it says it is the first commandment with promise, but it is a commandment. Now, lest the parent think, well, that gives me dictatorial rights. We're going to get to verse 4 here in just a minute. That's not what God is saying. But God is saying, this is the way I have established for the home to be. As surely as the husband is to be the head and the wife is to be his helpmate, the children are to obey their parents. Is it not a blessing to see a family in public, that there's a mother and a father, and perhaps sometimes just the mother, but the children all listen to what the mother has to say? Is that not a comfort to see? A family traveling together, whether it be across the land to Disney World or whatever, and they all get out of the car and they're all together and having a good time. God's plan is for there to be a mother and a father. God's plan is for the children to be in obedience to them. There'll be time enough for that child to grow into a young adult and make decisions on their own. But for now, God says, this is my family unit. Listen to me. This is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's God's statement on the issue. As surely as it's one man for one woman for life, so too within the home. Is that always the case? Hardly. Hardly. But that's not because it's not part of God's plan and God's purpose. Let me read you a couple of other Old Testament passages. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. It sounds similar, but it's a little different than Exodus 20 verse 12. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives to you. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 40. So you shall keep his statutes and his commandments which I give you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. And then this final passage on this subject, Leviticus 19 and verse 3. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Not only is it right, not only is it commanded, but God says, this is that which is pleasing to me. When children obey their parents, they compliment God. How is that possible? Because prayerfully, their parents are instructing the children in what the Lord has said, which is verse 4 that we'll get to. Therefore, disrespect, as we will also get to, is a curse, and one that brings a very heavy penalty. We'll discuss that, of course, toward the end of the lesson. Another New Testament passage, this is a parallel passage to Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, from Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's commanded. It's been God's lifelong, humankind-long instruction. And it is pleasing to him. Paul the Apostle says here, in everything. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, in the Lord. This is where the dictatorial part goes out the window. If I am as a parent expecting obedience from my children in a godly manner, then they will obey me as long as I am in the Lord. I'm teaching those things which God agrees with, the concepts that are God's to give. Else I would not be raising the child as God would have me to raise them. Doesn't that just make sense? You think of a young Jewish boy or girl being trained in the ways of Judaism, and from their youth up they are instructed in the Torah, in the keeping of the feasts, not only by verbal instruction, but by example of their parents, in tithing. And as they grow up in this home, this household, they experience on an endless scale what it means to be Jehovah's. Simply put, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, God says in the Christian home, it is the same way. It is right, it is commanded, it is pleasing for children to obey their parents. But the parents are to be ones that the children can do so and remain in the Lord in everything. You ought to be able to defend the rules you have in your house in light of what the Scriptures teach. And to reject those things, those lifestyles, those activities that don't agree with what God says in the Scripture. And obedience pays. I have out on the marquee, children, obey your parents in the Lord that you may live long. And you may have looked at that and thought, oh, what's he going to do to them if they're disobedient? Is life going to be cut short? Well, in those passages that we read in the Old Testament, and even here in Ephesians where it says, for this is the first commandment with promise, God links obedience with longevity. What does that mean? In more than one place that we read from Deuteronomy as well as in Leviticus, God said, you want your nation to last? Then as a society, this is what you will do. Honor your father and your mother. Now, how in the world would a nation last longer by that simple fifth command of the Old Testament? What did we discuss? A nation without laws, a nation without government, a nation without police, a nation without authority, what happens to it? It falls apart. The very foundation for that is in the home. You honor in your father and your mother, and you make that on a grand scale, and the nation benefits from that. My dad used to tell us this as the first day of school, and then we'd, for some reason, need to be reminded of it from time to time. He says, you get in trouble at school, you'll get twice as much when you get home. And he wasn't fooling. He had some kind of connection with the teachers and with the principal. He knew when I came home from school, and he was true to his word. He says, you show disrespect for the bus driver, and you're going to answer to me. What was he doing? He was establishing authority within not just home, but within the community. It wasn't that there couldn't be someone in authority, whether it be a teacher or even the bus driver, who didn't require things that were appropriate or misjudged. But the principle was, you honor those that are in control. You respect authority, and it begins right here at home, and it will continue at school. What does that do for a child? You don't end up throwing water balloons at the police with such an attitude, or buckets of water, or graffitiing their cars, or calling them names, or shouting them down. Honor your father and your mother, and you will prolong your days. I believe what God is establishing and reaffirming here in Ephesians is this is what a nation is founded upon and will last. Because you know, when you lose respect at home, ask a school teacher. Does it show up in the classroom? On the playground? Ask a policeman. Does it not show up in the streets of the city? Does it not manifest itself worldwide when a nation ceases to be respectful of authority? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that you may live long. on the earth. That's not just for kids, although we'll get to that in just a minute. I believe that's for our nation. Would our nation prosper? Our homes must be what they ought to be. In the Lord. For this is right, and this is what pleases God. Do you think I'm a disciplinarian? I wasn't going to get into this. Well, I guess you'll just have to ask my kids. All seven of them. Colleen and I worked with children's homes for much of our ministry. We worked with children who had no form of discipline before they came our way. Chaos. Total chaos. Until ground rules were established and, yes, enforced. In fact, a child that might be about to come into our home, I would sit down with them and I said, this is what I expect of you. And I had the list. It was there. If you are willing to obey, if you are willing to follow these, we'll get along just fine. But if not, there will be consequences. And we wouldn't take a child if he was of any kind of age if he said no. He wasn't coming into our house. Many times, children don't know what to expect. Many times, there's lack of discipline because there's been no instruction. I'm not saying just because you instruct and say, this is the policy, this is what we expect, that all problems will be solved. But when you make it clear, it does make a difference. So what does God say? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean that the child won't make mistakes and possibly even, like Solomon himself, fall away from the Lord late in life. But there will be within their arsenal the ability to know right from wrong. And if should they decide to come back to it, they can. Because they've been trained. Because they've been disciplined. Because they've been instructed. Not all children are alike. There's not many as stiff-necked as I was. And perhaps you. There, I've had parents tell me I've never had to discipline my child. I just referenced the saying I've got in my office. Children who know no form of chastening are either mythical or gangsters. You've just forgotten. I'm sorry. But there are easier children than others, and boys are worse than girls, mostly, right? God knows. God cares. And God has laid the groundwork that we are overlooking. And we are, as a society, trending toward chaos. And I think it started in the home. It started really in a personal relationship, or lack thereof, with Jesus. Where's your heart? What's your goals? Do you answer to anyone? To anything? Have we gotten to the point in our belief system and liberties that we have as a people, as a nation, that we determine that we're free from what God says? Or should we go back to the Scripture and understand clearly that God's not kidding? God takes nations down as surely as He builds them up. Read Acts chapter 17 if you don't believe it. And every nation that rises or falls is on the earth's scene for this sole purpose, that its people might come to know God. That they might seek after Him and find Him, though He is not far from every one of us. And God will not allow a nation who rebels against Him to last long. Because it's not best for its people. Simple commands. Simple instructions. Oh, so practical. But ignored by those who lack faith. I beg you to agree with me that it's not optional. God has commanded it. It's what's right. It's what's pleasing. And it is that which will prolong our days, I believe, as a nation. Just very quickly now in closing, let me read you some passages of Scripture with regards to the curse that came upon those who refused to obey their parents in the Old Testament. This is Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother, and all the people shall say amen. Leviticus 20 and verse 9. If there is anyone who curses his mother or his father, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood guiltiness is upon him. Exodus 21 and verse 17. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 24 and verse 14. Bring the one who has cursed outside the camp, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Do I need to repeat any of those again? How strong did God say honor your father and your mother was? A suggestion? Without consequence? A commandment with capital punishment. Finally, in the New Testament, Matthew 15, verses 4 through 6. For God said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would have helped you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Do you know who's reaffirming the passages we just read and now restating them in the New Testament? Look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. Find out who it is that said that statement. Because in the process, he says, any commandment that you make which lays aside what God has said favors tradition over God's word. And that will bear consequences. It's not optional. How you raise your child is up to you as a parent, but how you teach them and instruct them is not. In Christ, we are under obligation. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. When society reaches a point that it can't decide right from wrong, what's good or what's evil, when everything is debated up one side and down the other and nothing is decided, chaos and confusion will reign. Do you think that's pleasing to God? Not hardly. We have a responsibility as husbands, as wives, as parents, as children, and as next week we'll learn, even as slaves and masters, to do God's bidding. Let us be challenged this week to honor our Heavenly Father above all else as we stand and as we sing.